Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey, folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain, live here with you on a Tuesday night on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Scott Tindall, joined as always by the Johnny Gwynn. Johnny.
Greetings and salutations.
How goes it?
It goes good, man. Football season started, and I didn't think I'd be interested, but I watched a couple games. It's fun.
I watched more than I anticipated. Obviously, I watched the Auburn game, and about midway through the third quarter, I was like, I'm just going to watch the end of the Boise-Oregon game. I can't deal with this.
I don't need this in my life.
Yeah. I've got 10 years worth of, you know, results that show me exactly what's about to happen. And then a miraculous play, Auburn wins a game they shouldn't, and you go, huh, maybe we're back.
Well, enjoy the win. How about that? Don't worry about being back or something. It's just we won this Saturday, and try again next Saturday.
See what happens.
Yes. I want to bring up a uh-oh.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Vatican having a radio telescope that listened to aliens that I said.
Right.
That is not correct.
Okay.
It actually is an optical telescope, and it's in Arizona, and it was never part of a Vatican City program.
I disagree.
But
I heard it on our show.
Leo the 13th refounded that observatory in 1891 to prove the church wasn't anti-scientist.
Oh.
Anti-science.
Yeah.
So I got that wrong.
Okay.
But I wanted to make that clear.
Well, we're glad that we have it clear now.
You know, in the Beyond, because it's always so full of
wild
things in the news, like things that happened in the 1891.
Yeah. Oh, I got an interesting thing for you. We are about to set a record. If we don't have a storm form in the Atlantic in the next 72 hours.
You are literally, what are you doing?
It'll be the first time since 1941.
Oh, dude.
The weather has already, the meteorologists have already said we're going to hit this one. I won't tell you what the next milestone is,
okay,
but it would be 1914. But I don't want to jinx that one.
Yeah, the H word is, we've still got at least 8 more weeks.
Well, that's why I'm not saying
it. Of season, H season.
But we're going to meet this first benchmark. It'll be the longest since 1941.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, how about that?
I'll take that anytime we can get it.
Absolutely.
Anytime we can get it.
Well, what do we got going on this week?
Let's see. You know, Bitcoin held above 81,000 on Friday. It's
hanging in there.
But it's nice to see that it's got a little bit of momentum going there. And there's some, again, things popping up in the news from our, let's just say, our salad years of the 90s and the early 2000s that will come back this episode.
Excellent.
Of, that's in the news again?
It's back? All right.
But it is. That's just a little tease that, there.
That's interesting.
And then we're going to talk about something. I'm going to throw a number out about football.
I like football.
That we'll get into
and I like numbers
later on. And it's going to be a little shocking of how big this number is. So we'll deal with that, too, when it comes to it.
And then
and gambling. It's actually football and gambling.
Football and gambling. Okay.
And gambling, yes.
I see where you're going with this.
Yes.
It's going
and
to be
Alabama is involved. The state of Alabama is involved with our second segment deep dive.
Speaking of math, I know one of the things we're going to talk about
at the end is...
Segment
4, we'll talk about a math problem that is worth $1 million.
Unsolved for 300 years.
300 years. Yes. Yeah, so we'll get into that too. And, so it's old and new.
Old
it's
and
things
new.
From the past, like 1891 and 300 years ago, and then right
to today.
Smack in the middle of today. So
we got a lot of ground to cover, sounds like.
We do have every week, and as we always say, it's getting weirder and weirder.
Mm-hmm.
This week on the weird scale of 1 to 5, I'll give it like a 2.73. It's not super weird this week.
Yeah. No, it's just it's a lot of interesting breakthroughs. I saw where Google DeepMind just released a database today. They call it Alpha Genome Atlas. 30 times larger than the AlphaFold database, which is the DNA sequencing.
Mm.
So they basically have 30x'd the DNA sequencing that researchers can now access.
Yeah, see, that's the part where I keep going, what more and more will come from as we're decoding what that would translate into breakthroughs medically and figuring out personalized medicine.
Yeah. There's also an article this morning that, there's a drug in phase 3 trials. Oh, I sent it to you. You told me about the side effect.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Actually, we can say that. It's a real side effect.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll tell you the listeners what it is. Yes. And you tell them the side effect.
Yes.
So, one shot reverses your biological aging across 12 different biomarkers.
Yeah.
By 3 years.
Okay. How much is that going to cost? Cause someone's going to say, what's 3 years of your life worth?
Right. Now imagine in a couple of years when we can do that 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, wild.
Yep. What a way to take us to break.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back into Beyond the Blockchain. Live with you here on a Tuesday night with FinTalk 106.5. Scott Tindall, John Glenn. Talking all things AI, robotics, crypto, the future, medical breakthroughs, anything you can imagine.
Yes.
We might talk about it. A little football gambling coming up later for people who like math. But tell us what's going on in the news, Johnny.
Well, let's get into the time machine and go back to 1999.
All right.
Before it was Y2K.
All right. I remember it well. Okay.
The most popular app in America would have been last used on a beige Dell computer in 1999. All right.
All right. I'm tracking you.
You tracking?
Yeah.
And it got there by saying no to something.
Okay.
MapQuest. Do you remember when we used to print
reams of paper
out?
Yeah.
Maps.
Yeah.
To drive to locations.
We thought we had solved all the world's problems because we didn't have an atlas. We had a personalized map.
You had a map quest. You had your own quick trip or quick tip.
Right. I know what you're talking about.
So, yes. So, the number one downloaded app last week, and I think up to this week, it's 10X'd. It's all based on, you know why MapQuest is number one?
Tell me.
Because Donald Trump trolled the rest of the world and made Lake Ontario Lake America.
Right.
And Google and Apple said they would change the name on their maps. But MapQuest said no, which I'm thinking no one was there to actually change it.
Yeah.
And so now all the people who are sticking it to Trump, hilarious, like you're really sticking it to Trump, they all downloaded MapQuest.
So
silly.
They will still be traveling like it's 1999.
Well, hold on. The map, there is an app. You don't have to print it. It's a MapQuest app, which I didn't know existed.
I mean, does Blockbuster have an app? I mean, what's going on here? We're talking about defunct there companies.
There are Blockbusters opening up, by the way. I should see. Like, what idea of it, anyway?
All things old or new again.
So, look, here is the thing, man. And this is what my feel is. This is what I wouldn't do, okay? I went and looked up who owns MapQuest.
Okay.
And it's this ad agency that bought it on the cheap somewhere in the mid-2000s, like the aughts, right? And remember the cold wallet that got hacked?
Yeah.
Cold wallet, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Part of the thing that got found out about that was there's like six people worked in the whole corporation. Mm-hmm. And no one was really on cybersecurity. So that's why it got hacked, right? You have an app, an Apple app and a Google app, map app, that are got hundreds of people just on security.
Probably
alone,
thousands.
Those two entities. Do not download some ridiculous map app owned by an ad agency. I'm not saying anything's happened to them. I'm not saying they've been breached.
No, no.
It's just stupid.
Well,
and
I'm
it's
thinking
it's not worth the risk, and it's dumb.
I'm thinking, how often has that map been updated? If there's a recent bridge closure, am I going to go right off the into the side of the river?
Exactly. But like, it just like if your disgust of Donald Trump is so much, and your TDS has just ravaged your body, find another way to poke him in the eye. Mm. But it ain't this. This is stupid. So MapQuest, 1999. top load it now. But today, 2026, it's the number one downloaded app on the internet, which I'm sorry, it's so dumb.
You know, he's very good at getting a response out of people.
Don't get pulled like a bull with that nose ring. Do you not see what he does? And y'all, again, trolling works by not the troll being the entertainment. It's the people that are trolled that act.
The trollees,
if you will. The trollees, the one they overreact, that's the entertainment. Yet you still can't figure it out. Oh, you're so, well, you are what you are, and you deserve your feelings of the present. That's all I'm going to say.
That reminds me of a phrase somebody told me one time. They were talking about leaving work one day.
Yeah.
And they told everyone as they were leaving, I hope you have the day you deserve.
Well, those,
whatever it is you deserve.
You got the team you deserve. Yeah. You got the politician you deserve. Look, and that's almost a bless your heart moment.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
All right. News bite number two.
Okay.
Seven robots got a job, Scott.
Oh.
A research outfit gave seven of the top AI models $300 each, real bank accounts, real Stripe accounts, and unlocked a computer for 72 hours and said, go make money. Nobody's watching you. Do your best. What do you think happened, Scott?
I'm going to guess they made a bunch of money.
Combined revenue after 3 days? $0.
Okay.
Combined fake invoices. Sent to strangers? $12,431.
Didn't see that coming.
One of them bought 6,000 fake visitors to their own website, and then it went to sleep for 50 hours. Which sounds like a lazy scam artist. So 2,797 spam emails sent, 373 job seeker addresses scraped off Hacker News, and it burned about $3,200, which I'm not quite sure how, when you said, I'm giving you $300, you burned $3,200.
Yeah, left him too many tokens.
So again, what's our lesson, Scott? What's our lesson from this?
You know, don't try and make money illegally.
How about AI isn't useless, but unsupervised with money right now, a little dangerous.
Yeah, you got to really know what you're doing.
Yeah. But again, it is a pattern finding a way to make something happen.
Right.
And again, we put the idea of human ethics in it, and that's the issue. It doesn't have ethics. It doesn't have morality. The idea is, and that's that funny thing of spam. I don't think anyone's ever really gone to jail for spam. You know, the big spammers right. out there. So hence, well, we'll just do this because no one really gets in trouble anyway. I could be totally wrong on this, by the way.
Now, here's a question. I probably could figure out the answer to. But if you left a robot agent, you know, an agent, unsupervised, and it did scam some little old lady, and that money was put into your bank account.
Who is right? I think I've seen that story. We need to research that and bring it up next week. I can't remember that, but that is one of those loopholes in the who would be responsible for this.
Seems like it's like letting your dog loose without being on a leash.
Yes.
Your dog may wander around and sniff someone. It may bite someone. You're still responsible for that dog. Because you let it off the leash.
Yeah, but we let corporations off the hook all the time, and people are never have to take the consequences. Yeah. The corporation ends up being an entity, you know, that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah.
All right. Well,
got to get fancy with look, your
again. Here's scamming. The thing: supervise your AI agents. How about that? You know what? Just supervise your AI agents.
Fair enough.
Don't let them run loose. Just like your dog shouldn't run loose,
and your children,
and most children, and some spouses shouldn't run loose either. I'm just saying.
That's true.
So not mine. I'm just saying she's totally fine running loose with whatever she wants to do. Okay. So Scott, Alabama has voted the lottery down so many times, right?
Lots of times.
I mean, they've gone out of their way not to make this happen. It's one of the strictest states in the country. How much money did Americans move on college football this last weekend? Something that is not legally a sports book is involved in this, but how much money?
So this is going to be like prediction market betting.
Yes.
Right?
How much money do you think went through
college football?
Yes.
Prediction markets.
Yes.
I'm going to say $200 million.
$790 million Thursday through Sunday, 1 week at a college football. Saturday with Kalshi's biggest day ever, $2.29 billion all markets, up almost 300% from the same Saturday last year. The Thursday night Georgia Tech Colorado game alone, $54 million in one game.
Wow.
Okay. And none of this is legal gambling. They haven't ruled on this yet, correct?
Correct.
What you buy is an event contract, a financial product that happens to be about a football game, and it settles at a dollar or at zero. That makes it federal, not state. Nobody in Montgomery got a vote, and it's 18 and up, not 21.
Yeah, prediction markets are weird things. And they're talking about it's getting weirder. It's going to keep getting weirder because I saw an advertisement for a prediction market where basically you can use their tool to create your own markets.
Oh, you can make your own bets.
Yeah, like will Scott be late to dinner? You take one side of the contract, I take one side. We put our real money
in. It's so crazy. I thought that was already out there years ago, and I told that to a boat captain.
Yeah.
I thought that was already out there, but what the heck do I know?
Well, that may have been something that the concept makes sense, like right? Like you got friends betting on something.
But this is
using the framework of the prediction markets to like as the money moves in and out, we'll change the odds. Like one friend could buy, yes, he's gonna be late at 58%. Somebody else buys it at 52%. But like all things that are prediction markets, they're ripe for manipulation. Just wide open for manipulation.
Yeah.
And with the amount of money you just told me going through Kalshi this weekend, don't you think some of these lower tier games where the guys don't make as much in NIL are just sitting there for the pickings?
Some lacrosse team or something? Okay, I saw an interesting one, too, that was...
the guys at South probably get... Their NIL is probably just like, trip to Canes every weekend.
It's whatever the school can come up with. But we're talking hundreds of dollars, not thousands of dollars.
Unlimited Rich's car wash, probably.
that's so sad.
I'm just telling you.
It's football like it should be, damn it.
Yeah, there you go.
Look, there is also... Kalshi doesn't make money on the bet. They make money on the transaction, correct?
Yes. They don't take a VIG.
And it's like, right. So crazy. All right. Here's another thing I saw recently. And I didn't read the whole article because, again, I'm trying not to read sports. I've got enough stuff going on where I don't need to get stuck into the sports black hole of information. Somebody was talking about coaches can agree to shorten the game.
Yes. Well, it's called a running clock.
Okay, but... That would really make me angry if you did that and I was on the over-under or whatever that is.
Of course.
And all of a sudden, it really skews my math. If, wait a minute, you took away 20 possessions or 20 plays of a game, that takes away a lot of it, that over-under.
It's just one of the risks you take when you're going after a game that's got a huge spread. I mean, that only happens. You're only going to get a running clock. Like this one, I think it was... Monroe State. It was Morgan State. They were down like 70-3.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those this week. But that happens in the first couple weeks.
So if you're gambling on one of those games, you got to just bake that into the equation. This thing may not go the full limit.
I bet you on Kalshi, you could bet that the game goes into that where they make the clock smaller. Do you know what I'm saying?
If you couldn't Saturday, I bet you will this Saturday. I bet it'll be there this week. Will the game end in a running clock?
Okay, so I've never looked at Kalshi.
I've got a real good Kalshi next.
I've never looked at Kalshi, though, for a football game. I understand point spread. Is it by points? Do they say by less than 27? It didn't just say Michigan will beat.
You get all the options.
Oh, okay. I see.
You can choose which line you want to bet on. The official line may be 7.5. You may say, I think they're going to win by 11. And as long as you have somebody on the other side of that contract.
Taking the contract.
All right, so back to this. Yep. We need to look up how much money was on Kalshi during the Western Michigan game.
Okay.
Because did you see how this one ended?
Oh, yeah. They let them have 1 second back on the clock, right?
So
and then they won on a Hail Mary pick.
The Big Ten says, well, first of all, Kalshi settled all those accounts before that next play went in.
Oh, and then how do you get the money back?
We need to look it up.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Which side of that are they on? But here's the next thing.
Oh, wow.
The Big Ten said that, you know, this is how we do replay. The MAC just released something just before we came on air this afternoon that said, no, no, this is the official rule. NCAA, we want you to overturn it.
Oh,
so
yeah,
what happens to your prop bet? Is the NCAA the final rule? I don't know.
You ain't getting that money back.
Probably not. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain, live with you Tuesday night. FM Talk 106.5, Scott Tindall, Johnny Gwynn, talking AI, robotics, little prediction markets. When we went into break, we were talking about the Michigan, Western Michigan kerfluffle. I love that word. On the prediction markets, Western Michigan was initially awarded the win.
Yep.
Then they added one more second to the clock. Michigan got another play. Pulls off a Hail Mary, wins the game. Johnny, you looked this up during the break.
I did.
How did Kalshi handle these settlements?
Okay, $18.6 million was in the market. It doesn't say paid out. It just says in the market for that game. Okay, and then what Kalshi did when Michigan won, Kalshi reversed the settlement, clawed the money back from the Western Michigan holders, paid the Michigan holders correctly, and then put $50 in everybody's account that made a contract. We corrected the result to a Michigan win, making sure all Kalshi customers got paid out correctly. It's not correctly. It's just what they settled on.
Right.
But the game was given to Michigan at the end of the game.
By the officials,
yes. By the officials. We just don't – now – we mentioned that Western Michigan is trying to get the thing overturned
right.
by an appeal, and it already has – I've looked that up. It says nobody really has an honest answer to what anybody would do after the fact like that.
Yeah.
Like what, 4 weeks from now or whatever. It's like the idea of like – remember when Alabama had like the textbook scandal or whatever, and they did it the season after – and mm-hmm. they went back and took away 8 wins.
Right.
Nobody cares. No bookies paying out on those games that were whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, it's a little different because Alabama won that game outright on the field.
Right.
But it's just not good for football at that high level with all the technology we have that they can't figure out if the ball's in play, if there's 1 second. Because it goes back to the TV time is the official time. That's not what I understand. Well, I understand it's what's on the field, not what's in the booth.
I don't know is the answer.
Yeah, I don't know. And I can't believe we're talking about this so much. But it has to do with money.
It has to do with prediction markets.
And prediction markets, again, why
it's relevant to what we do.
You never know what you're going to end up with when you're gambling, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, just like there was a guy that was altering the weather stations in Paris.
Oh.
He was do you remember this story?
I do remember.
We talked about it on the show. He took a blow dryer. To the weather stations.
To the weather stations, yeah.
And, you know.
Well, how about Trump's speech writer betting on the words that would be and how many times it would be said in the Trump speeches?
Yeah. He just had to return like $80,000, I think.
Talk about a sure thing. The guy who writes the speech goes and says, how many times does Trump call so-and-so a clown?
It might have been
three times.
It might have been the teleprompter operator, but the point remains.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. Somebody that can tell you exactly what is going to be said.
Right.
That again, and look, I'm sure there's a lot of other people up there with stocks and bonds.
It's okay if you're a member of Congress.
Price of oil. Yeah.
You got to be a member of Congress to do those things, Johnny.
Well, that segment went over into overtime.
It did.
And segment three. So now we're moving on to segment number three instead of segment number two.
Let's do it. All right. So, what do we got going on in segment three?
Okay, Scott, you know Mad Men?
I do. Very well.
The suits, the whiskey, Madison Avenue, 1963. That was a real business, buddy.
I know. That's why it's so fascinating.
Well, part of it was based on an agency called DDB.
Okay.
Doyle Dane Birnbach, DDB. And you've seen their work your whole life over a certain age. One of them is the Volkswagen Bug, which was hard to sell an actual German car post-World War II into America. They did it with the Think Small campaign. So they did the Ad Age, which is the magazine of the of advertising, called it the greatest ad campaign of the 20th century, was the Volkswagen campaign.
Okay.
And then they also did the Avis, We Try Harder campaign, which is super famous. So,
I think OJ was part of that one.
Oh, no, that was Hertz.
Are you sure?
Come on, dude. Running through the airport?
That's what I was thinking.
Hertz, brother. That's why they had to say We Try Harder, because we didn't have, you know, stars like OJ Simpson. Okay, look, DDB is a part of this huge advertising conglomerate called Omnicom, and it's retiring the DDB name and this other company called FCB and Mullen Lowe. 4,000 jobs between these agencies.
That's a lot of jobs.
And here's the part that should get everybody's attention. The companies didn't fail. DDB isn't bankrupt. The work is still there with all the clients. The parent company just decided the work doesn't need that many people anymore because of AI agents.
Wow.
So we were told the robot takes your job. This is not what's happening here. Few of these cuts are even directly tied to AI. What the executive says is the most restructuring is done with AI tools in mind, meaning what's coming.
Right.
It's what we're using now, but we know how much better it's going to be. So AI didn't fire anyone. AI is the reason no one's getting hired back.
Right.
The layoff isn't the story. The non-rehiring is the story, and you'll never see it because there is no announcement for a job that just quietly stops getting posted.
Yeah. Or they get posted and never filled, right? Like, that's the other thing that you see a lot of people talking about.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't even talked about OpenAI's latest model, Astra, which can completely take over your computer. So to give you an idea to tag on to that story, I saw a video where someone told Astra, they took a picture of themselves, gave them the picture and said, paint a picture of me using my Google Calendar. And it went and shaded boxes. And within like 30 seconds, it made a perfect picture matching that by shading the boxes. Point of that is, using the Astra model, you just talk to your computer and it will do whatever you, anything that your computer has access to, it can do it. You can do it from your phone. You can do it remotely. You don't have to be sitting in front of your computer. It's really like having Jarvis from Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's the first one where I've gone, yeah, it's actually, if you had the right gear and had the number of screens that they have in Iron Man, this program will do what Jarvis does.
Look, let me see what I can say here without getting myself in a little bit of trouble. I was looking at going back into advertising. So I was in advertising 25 years, people. Folks, just let you know, 25 years and longer. And I've been in podcasting, still doing a little bit of that. I am now going back into what's called fractional creative director, creative writer. And I've been using Claude nonstop for over a year now. And I decided not to pursue going to work for another agency anymore, because I just see the writing on the wall of, okay, maybe I'll have 2 good years somewhere, maybe, if I get the job. I think I'm still a little too old now, which is super crazy. I'm 55, and advertising does not want a 55-year-old working in the building in the creative department. But I realized I could build a small agency myself.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm working on. That is the answer. So instead of freaking out and everybody going, oh, these AI machines and AI and robot, blah, blah, blah. Well, dude.
Yeah, be high agency about it.
We say this a lot here. Get in the dirt. Get your fingers dirty. Get on that keyboard. Start watching some videos and start learning these amazing tools, because now all of a sudden you can have the work of 6 people and done under your tutelage and your mentoring and your direction. But it takes a little while to build it, and you got to have the work leading up to it.
Yeah, and Astra is not going to be the last model that does this. These models, this is just the model they've released to us. The model that we're going to talk about in segment 4 that was used to solve that 300-year-old problem, that's a model that's not released yet. And they say it's a magnitude, a multiple magnitude times better than Astra that they just released.
Well, look, don't get also locked into, I don't know what platform to use. It doesn't matter. Just start with AI right now. Each one of those things to me are like Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Sprite, and 7-Up.
You like what you like.
They're a little different, but they're very similar in their sugar water, right? Yeah. Because the idea is most of this stuff carries over from one to the other. So don't get locked in this thing of we don't know what we want. Here's the thing. Just start learning right now. The easiest thing is probably ChatGPT. It's free. Grok. Is Grok free anymore? Because I pay for my verified account.
I'm not certain. But if you have Google, you can use Gemini.
Just don't let your fear and your bias and your uncertainty just start playing around. I keep saying play with it. Don't work with it. Go and play with it.
The other thing I will say, and I'm sure the people that are actually willing to listen to this show don't think this way, but you can't get stuck in the mindset of AI is this thing, because every day it is much better. Yeah. There are people that still think it's Will Smith eating spaghetti for the first time.
Right?
That's not the world anymore.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the final segment, Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Scott Tindall, John Glenn, Tuesday nights, where you can find us here on FM Talk 106.5. Johnny, for Beyond, you know, we normally talk about something paranormal, and this is not paranormal.
Well, math is involved, which is paranormal to me.
Yeah, and, you know, AI is involved, which is paranormal to most of us.
Yes.
So there's a crazy story. There's this 300-year-old math problem that hasn't been solved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except OpenAI announced that they have solved it. And it has to do with thermodynamics and thermofluid dynamics and basically air turbulence, how water moves, how the air around a flying object moves. And we've always been pretty certain that we knew the right answer. This was just looking for the final portion of the mathematical proof to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The reason this is interesting is because when you use an AI tool, let's say, you know, I'm working on a project, all that material I put in there, they have access to.
The platform owners has
access to all of your chats, right? Because we talked about before, they're discoverable in court now.
Yeah, sits on their servers.
So what happens if you solve a 300-year-old math problem and before you're able to publish your paper, the platform finds out about it? And then they go solve it themselves.
Yeah, and then they
that's the story.
And then they drop the story that they solved it before you did.
Yeah. So that's actually what happened. So this guy, Tristan Buckmaster,
great name by the way, Buckmaster.
In Levent Alpage, they make progress on these math problems. They don't have the proof yet. Now there's $1 million prize tied to.
This is the cousin question they solved. What they are not solving is the $1 million question. But this cousin question will lead to the big one.
That's right. They don't have proof of it yet.
Yeah.
But they have claim for a similar problem that's going to be the next step.
It's like the building block to this bigger mathematical equation.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Here's where it gets tricky. Levent works at Anthropic, but his research was independent of his time there.
Yeah.
And they used a mix of GPT and Claude models,
which is what we do because we get other AI models to check our work
all the time.
Yeah.
All right. So earlier this week, rumor spreads to OpenAI that Anthropic had solved a major problem. Tristan emails OpenAI to clarify without revealing the problem of what they've been working on. Like, wait a minute, what's going on here? After hearing the rumor, OpenAI started researching the Navier-Stokes problem with an internal model. So here's what they did. They took this future model that's unreleased. They sent 10,000 agents specifically to tackle this problem.
That's a lot.
10,000 agents in 3 days.
That's like 8 cities worth of energy.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, it's like 30 almonds.
30 almonds. Oh, my gosh.
So then they go out and solve this thing, publish it. The two guys go, hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
We're pretty sure you've been using our research to get yourself down the line. Because you heard rumors that we were working on this.
Yeah, I don't believe in coincidence.
Right. Yeah. That's a heck of a coincidence.
Yeah.
And OpenAI comes back and says, hey, listen, we're not going to say if we did or we didn't, but we're going to solve this problem for $1 million. We'll give you $1 million and we'll put your name on it saying that you are the human closest to getting this done, but you have to drop your partner off this project because he works for rival Anthropic.
Yeah, we can't mention Anthropic. We use OpenAI.
So what happens, right? So Tristan Buckmaster. Of course, this guy would have some guts, you know.
Hopefully,
some backbone here.
He is a mathematician.
Well, he refuses to remove Levant, and rushes to publish their results independently.
Okay. By the way, the equation is called the Euler equation.
That's where it's going.
No. This is the one that's the building block.
Yeah.
It's not the $1 million problem.
Not Navier
Stokes. You have to get the Euler problem before you can get to the other.
It's like an escape room.
Yeah.
Until you.
That's right. Good one. That's a good one.
Got to solve this clue before you get the clue gets you to the next one. All right. So we're going to have to wait and see what in next week's show, like what happens. But over the course of the next week, this is going to be a wild story because it comes down to. And this is the biggest fear with some of these especially OpenAI, right? You're creating your startup using their technology.
Yes.
As soon as you get any momentum in the market, they just use their gajillion dollars, create a replica of you using your own research, kick you out of the market and take control.
Yeah. XYZ Pharmacy Company says tomorrow afternoon at 11:30 Eastern, AM Eastern, we're going to announce a huge breakthrough in cancer, not treatment, but cure.
Right.
And then at 9 a.m. Eastern, OpenAI comes out and goes, hey, we've got a new cancer, not treatment, but cure.
We cured cancer. Yeah.
Hold on, that's what we're looking at. That is totally made up. No one is saying that. But it is what I liked was this Buckmaster guy asked OpenAI, have you been looking at our work and our notebooks? And they didn't get an answer at all. Answer at all.
Well, the answer was, we'll give you $1 million.
Yeah, you go away.
Yeah.
Just go away.
We'll give you $1 million.
That is so, again, all right.
Buckmaster said, your $1 million ain't good enough.
Okay, let's say, is there a joke?
There was something. Yeah.
So, look. Everyone goes, this is everything, man, because everybody now has got access to these magic boxes.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just, do they want to turn their spotlight onto your files that you've been creating?
So we have these magic boxes we work in that are owned by an elite group of technologists.
Yeah.
Whoa. The technologists of the world.
Yeah. Technocrats.
Okay, look, I've got this nice little small book that I've written that sits in my world. I've got 10 plus songs that I've written in the world that sits in there. But am I thinking now is someone could come and just take that work. And it's no longer mine anymore.
That's why.
But again,
open source and local models.
Yes.
Are the future.
And I have been noticing Apple has started putting out what looks like the mini disc, the minis.
Yeah.
But I can't tell if it's made up. Are there literally Apple coming out with personal LLMs?
We'll have to look it up. Okay. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but
we'll save that for next week.
But it does make so much sense for a company to go out there and say, oh, you're a major corporation. You've built all of your patents. You've built everything. Your whole model is based on this LLM running.
Mm-hmm.
When Anthropic keeps going out on my, not me, at their server level, I'm going to say at least 2 times a week now, that's really got to screw up your business model if you rely on that server to make sure it's running 24/7.
Yeah. And with the open source local model, meaning like you use open source software and you use hardware that you own, that you control.
Yeah.
That you have physically on site. These open source models are already so good and they will only get better. Like the average person doesn't need Astra. They don't need to solve some 300-year-old mathematical problem. The models now, the latest release of models are so good that it'll cover 99% of what you need to do. The difference is in the automation that's coming out with Astra and being able to just talk to it and let it control your entire computer, anything your computer has access to.
Well, that's that thing of, quit thinking in prompts, think in loops, and think in systems.
Yeah.
Because the idea is the prompting is the a basic
amoebic version of where these things can get. So the idea of these bigger models do bigger and bigger things when you know how to incorporate them.
Right.
Okay, look, also we need to put into this, it's alleging all this stuff between these people. We don't want to get into this.
Yeah, no, it's all alleging. I don't know. This could change by tomorrow.
But also, the name of this equation is the Navier-Stokes equation, is the million-dollar equation they're trying to get to. And also, the Cauchy thing, be sure if you have a gambling problem to call that hotline if you have a gambling issue.
That's a good point.
I need to put that in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We should end on that. Yeah. Because we never give financial advice.
No, we don't.
Yes.
Don't take advice from us, folks.
Never.
We'll see you next time on Beyond the Blockchain.